Hello, welcome to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm Laura Rawlings. Today we're talking dogs with jobs. It's a monthly podcast. It's created by two volunteers, Kate Fairweather and John Wellsman, at Petersfield's Shine Radio. It won Best Podcast at the Community Radio Awards at the back end of 2022. So how do they create an award-winning podcast series? Let's listen to a little snippet of Kate, Tom and his dog, who is nose to the ground, tail in the air, sniffing out truffles, which are very elusive and a very expensive kind of underground fungus.
His nose goes straight down.
Good lad, good lad. No, we're not there yet.
Good lad, good boy. Good boy, good boy. Now it's frozen. Go on, yeah. Look at that.
No way.
That tube of water. Well, that's extraordinary. This is rare in England.
Yeah.
You smell that. This truffle.
Got that really,
it's called a poor
really
man's white truffle.
Smell.
Yeah. But this truffle has dodged the drought.
Right.
Okay.
Did you have a good idea
I had no idea. But I don't want to dig any more, actually. That's a miracle. I thought the ground was going to be frozen. Good
that
lad.
That is amazing.
I might actually stop at that, if that's all right.
No, absolutely.
Can I do that?
Stop.
That
yes.
Because we're a bit lucky.
Yes,
there.
Because that's like a hole in one, isn't it?
Now, the other situation with dogs is you never want to bore them.
No.
And I always like to stop on a high note.
Truffle hunting. How cool is that? There we go. Dogs with jobs in the broadest sense. As you're going to hear in my conversation with Kate Fairweather, it is quite a niche subject.
Yeah, I think podcasting is niche. It's really hard to find or indeed to promote your own podcast because there's no algorithm driving it in the way that there is with video or other types of communication. So people on the one hand have to find you. And they're not having you pushed at them. You know, the charts are one thing, but, you know, there's nothing to help you. So if you're, as I am, a volunteer presenter working in community radio, there's no PR push or anything like that. It's exclusively word of mouth. It is quite fun. I mean, you're right, Laura. It is niche. I'm often told it's niche. And yet loads of people are interested in dogs. I think form and function is more interesting than looks. And this is very much dedicated to what dogs can do, not what they look like. In the dog world, as in the human world, that's where the interesting stuff lies.
Form and function. I'm writing that down. I love the way you've summed that up. I think that's brilliant. So let's kind of retrace your steps a little bit, shall we? When you started this podcast, who was Kate at the time? What were you doing? Where were you coming at this from? Because as we mentioned, this is something you do as a volunteer and you do it for the love. Take us back to the beginning.
Well, the beginning was the pandemic, really. My local community radio, Petersfield Shine Radio, had started up from scratch in 2019. And then when lockdown happened, it was wonderful luck for community radio, really, because everyone wanted local information and everyone was at home. So it had this big kind of boost. And when I was not commuting to London, which I did previously, I found myself with 15 hours a week more than I had. So I donated half of it back to my employer and used the other half to start volunteering. And I started reading the weather. And then when we brought in voice tracking software, which was 2020 when we launched the live stream, because previously we just had a podcasting platform and a website that hosted links. Once we had the live stream, I ended up with a 3-hour show on a Friday and relaxed into it, really, because in my day job, I work in communications, but I had never touched audio or had anything to do with it, although I'm a massive radio listener. So I had my little feature on a Friday, which was all about cocktails, and not just about making cocktails, but about the stories, really. I had someone from the Royal Navy who about hosting cocktails as diplomacy. I had someone else who'd worked on the cruise ships in the 80s, and that was cocktails as entertainment.
I sort of see how having something else to talk about is a good proxy, that way of getting to know someone. And it's that initial hook, but then having those conversations that perhaps go a little deeper with your guests as well.
I think so. It was just really fun. And I found that I really enjoyed it. And I like not having my face anywhere. I like the anonymity because I think people talk so much more freely. And of course, having started with my iPhone and a little windshield on it, you know, it felt well, it is quite amateur, but it also just felt very unscary, I think. So I was quite taken with how people that wouldn't necessarily normally want to be interviewed were totally fine when it was just a chat with a little iPhone propped on a stand next to you, and that you were getting some interesting content, and because people were relaxed and speaking fluently. And then I decided to launch a podcast because I felt ready to. I hadn't been doing much presenting for that long, but I felt ready to. And at the time, we were clapping the NHS workers and thinking a lot more perhaps about our human frontline workers. And so it just occurred to me, why not do a podcast about dogs? And because dogs is such a wide subject, if you're an enthusiast, I thought, why not do key workers and celebrate the unsung heroes? So that was the concept. Totally came out of lockdown because of clapping the NHS on a Thursday evening.
And so in a really short space of time, you do monthly podcasts. It's grown and grown. I don't know what ambition or vision you had for it at the start, where you thought it might be going, but as I mentioned in the intro, it's gone on to win Podcast of the Year at the Community Radio Awards 2022, which is fabulous. Where does it sort of sit in your life now doing it?
It became perhaps disproportionately important to me last year because I had chemotherapy for 4 months. And so I found it very comforting in my life at that stage. It was like a kind of distraction displacement therapy. And that's all it's supposed to be, really, comforting and a bit of joy. It's not profound and it's not changing the world, but I hope that any listener would learn something that they didn't know before from any of the episodes. And it's supposed to be kind of light, but not slight. It's kind of fun and comforting. And so I think that if you like one of them, you'll probably go and listen to more. And I gather that that's what people do. I was very excited a few months ago to actually have somebody approach me who'd found the podcast and listened and really liked it and got in touch asking, would I be interested in profiling his dog? And I said yes, because I was so delighted to have someone get in touch with me.
That is always the best moment, isn't it, when you're doing something and you're putting it out there to the world and you can see, yes, there are this many listens or downloads, but then someone actually comes and says, I could come and be a guest.
You know, you've got your mother, but you know, you're never quite sure. So that was really exciting. And then after we'd had a chat and interviewed, he shared with me that his daughter was autistic. And I said, oh, I've done an amazing autism assistance dog. You should listen. And he said, oh, you mean Cashel? Yes, he's amazing. And you're doing a follow-up, aren't you? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he said, but Daisy was great too. And Daisy was back in early 2021. And I said, my goodness, you're listening. And he said, yes, I've listened to them all. I love them. And that was a really cool moment, actually, because like I said, I knew my mother was listening, but you never know, do you?
In front of me, I had what I call a flying saucer, a rubber ring with a ball in the middle that rotates, and in it's got food, which Benji can't wait for. So I'm going to throw it across the garden.
So it's like a puzzle.
So it's environmental enrichment. You know, you've got a guide dog and they're working.
Yep.
But we need to make sure that they're engaged and they're entertained and that they have things to do. Benji, he has his food throughout the day. The main part would be that I have what's called a treat pouch, which I take out with me. So when I get to a curb or I go to a crossing or I get to a difficult obstacle, you reinforce positive behaviour
by associating food.
With food.
It's quite noisy, isn't it, the toy? I was just thinking that as he bashed against the gate. He's very interested, and with his collar with his bell on as well.
Yeah.
There is no mistaking exactly where he is there?
I think what's interesting, you just kind of reminded me, you were talking about the process of what it is for you to be part of this process, to be making podcasts and to be part of the station and offering something that helps the community and that that light distraction for you too. And I think I remember feeling that when I was in community radio, you know, when you're choosing to do something and you're giving your time for free, this is one of the real joys of, I think, community radio and people when they do podcasts, because they just absolutely love the subject or they've got a passion or a drive to do it, is that the process of making it is something that is meant to be a wonderful thing, and that is something that I think can get missed, because that's not, you know, output is generally what people are focused on. What's it going to sound like at the end? And I know you're focused on this too, but the process is also really important, especially in community radio.
I'm absolutely sure that's true. I mean, for me, it's a delight because it's new, and it's been new getting to know and learning. And I feel very much with my L plates on. When I first started it, I asked a fellow volunteer, John Wellsman, if he would help me edit and co-produce, because I respected his opinion hugely. And he agreed, and he's actually a guide dog user. He has this insight into the assistance dog world, which has kind of also, so it's been a kind of joint endeavor as well. I've got company on this particular niche journey, and it's fun. Yeah. It's really good fun.
Do you or John have to adapt how you do things because he's blind and you're not? How does that partnership work together, or is everything already set up at the station?
No, well, we're all working remotely. We don't have a studio at the station because that's how it started. I think perhaps I sometimes am aware in the back of my mind when I'm talking to somebody and when I'm describing a situation of describing it to John because he can't see. So maybe that helps get a little edge on wanting to describe what's going on. I think that he listens brilliantly and he's aware of things like the background, and he's helped me a lot. And I have a very major respect for his knowledge of dogs, and he's an advanced user of a guide dog. We have a shared massive enthusiasm and respect for what dogs can do. So it's fun. It kind of, makes it a team effort, which is great. I mean, he obviously uses special software because, you know, he's not working with the waveform and stuff. But it doesn't seem to be a problem at all.
And it shouldn't be, should it? It's still quite unusual if I think about all the people I've worked with who are blind or partially sighted in my radio career. And there's probably just been one person who I can think of, and that was in community radio as well. Can I ask a bit more about recording on location? Because you mentioned it there. And of the podcasts I've listened to, you know, you've been in hospital and hospital visits, in yards, you know, farms, woods, fields, all sorts of different locations, and often on the move. And you're doing this on a shoestring. Yeah. So what kind of things have you learned along the way that you might pass along when it comes to recording on location with an unfolding story and maybe just one microphone? You know, how are you doing this? Because there's so many things you can't control.
I think that the beauty of a podcast, and as you say, my status as a volunteer and everybody understanding who listens to it that, you know, it's not high production, is that you could just explain it and weave it into the narrative. You know, I went to interview an incredibly interesting interviewee who runs a pack of bloodhounds, which hunt the clean boot, which is, they have a bunch of runners that go off and the hounds follow the scent of the humans because bloodhounds are amazing and can do that. And the intention was to get some really atmospheric audio. And it was the rainiest day of the year. It was biblical. You can hear on the audio the rain kind of coming down on the roof, and I didn't want to reschedule because I was tight on time and I felt that he was fitting me into his unbelievably busy life. So I kind of tried to mention it as we went along. I think I've learnt some technical things, and I'm very much still learning technical things. I have a Shure Motive mic that I put into my iPhone, and that's how I record. And I stick it on the end of a selfie stick. Because I'm recording in stereo, I hadn't appreciated until John told me recently that, you know, if I move and the person ends up on the other side, it goes from one ear to the other. And I think with podcasts, people are listening with their earphones in their ears. I think that probably matters more with a podcast if people have their earphones on than otherwise. So I bear that in mind now.
But I think there is a joy, though, when you also don't know some of the rules. I mean, I didn't know what you were just talking about until you've just said it. So I've learned something too. But when you don't know, is that actually you do keep on the move, perhaps a little bit more. And in a way, there's an energy and an excitement to that, which unfolds, which I think is kind of liberating.
Part of the thing is going with the dogs and hanging out with them and seeing what they're doing. It started like that because of lockdown, because I could only interview people on walks. Kind of developed organically because there was no question of being nearer each other than 6 feet or whatever. So I kind of started and that became the modus operandi of the whole thing. But actually it fits
Yeah, it does. So your interviewee, obviously, is all about a dog, but they can communicate with each other and with us humans, but not all humans will understand them. So that's kind of a quirky, funny thing about it. It's about the dog, but they're in it. We know they're in it because you can hear them woofing sometimes, you can hear them sniffing or what have you, or the reaction of other people to the dog. But you're chatting to their owner or the person who's working with them, aren't you? People perhaps open up a little bit more than they might otherwise have done if you just invited them to do a one-to-one interview.
I think that's true. And there's a couple of different ways in which that plays out. Quite a lot of my interviewees, they're working men. They perhaps are a dog handler in the fire service, or they're on lowland search and rescue, that kind of thing. Or my farmer, for example. I went and said to the farmer that lives opposite where I live, can I come and talk to you, Andy? And he said, oh, I don't know about that. And I said, it's about your dogs. And he said, oh, yes, best part of the job. So he was prepared to talk and was fantastically entertaining as an interviewee about his five sheepdogs. So I think that's one aspect. You hear voices perhaps that you don't hear normally, definitely not on the radio or in mainstream broadcasting necessarily.
You know, to me, they are my complete pride and joy. Like,
I can totally see that.
They really are. You know, they come above everything to me. They come above my family, they come above my wife, they come above everything. And it's just the way it is. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better, you know, after a horrible, wet, miserable day, and you get back to kennels sort of 7 o'clock in the evening, and you feed, and you sit down, you know, all the hounds go on their beds, and you sit down on the beds of them, and they're all fast asleep and relaxing. And it's nice because you're just building that relationship up with them. And they just sit down, they're quiet, you're tired. 9 times out of 10, you have a...
You're completely in harmony.
You doze off with them and they're completely chilled out. It's really nice. It's a very privilege to be able to do it, so it's nice.
I live in the countryside and grew up in the countryside, and hearing people who are in the countryside and working in it, you don't hear as much.
No, so I quite like that. It's got a strong sense of place as well, which of course it would, and that's the point, because it's community radio.
Yeah.
But the other thing about the presence of a dog is, for example, I interviewed the chief fire officer of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight Fire Service a couple of months ago. He was talking about his dog, Mabel, who works as an emotional support dog and goes in once a week or whatever. But he was also talking about bringing them in a structural way. And I think that's really interesting because at the moment there is so much mental health crisis going on, really. And dogs are undoubtedly beneficial for human health. And it makes so much sense to perhaps bring them into environments to maybe soften and change subtly the atmosphere and the way in which an organisation works.
So apart from going out with a pocket full of Bonio dog treats, which I'm sure is how you have to approach every interview, just to finish, what advice might you pass on to anyone else who's thinking of doing something similar or in the early stages of it? Anything you've learnt or just words of encouragement?
Yeah, I think that if you have an idea and it amuses you, because I find dogs with jobs quite amusing. It's, you know, it's interesting and it's informative, but it's also, it puts a smile on my face. And I think that's why I'm still doing it 2.5 years on. If it's interesting to you, it will be interesting to someone else. And you may not know that person, you know, and you might be surrounded, in my case, by cat people. It wouldn't matter because I just followed my nose like my interviewees, you know, and saw what happened. And I'm not very bothered. I mean, no, I'm not really bothered about numbers or that kind of thing. I just kind of do my thing and trust that if I'm finding something fascinating and fun and interesting, then other people will too. And I don't know what else you can do with a podcast, because you don't have research or anything to help you. You just have to give it a try and see if it makes sense. And I also think, to anyone starting a podcast, sort of think about it perhaps and plan out how things would look for, say, half a dozen podcasts, so that you've got your content thought about, maybe do it in advance. I mean, mine has gone incredibly organically. I think if I were starting it from scratch, I'd plan out the first six and just let myself drop into it gradually, because once you find your voice and you kind of find your modus operandi, it starts making sense. There's stuff that I was doing in the early episodes that I'm not now, and actually the formula's got simpler and simpler, and now it's just intro, dog interview, the outro. And that's it.
Well, look, good luck with it, Kate. I look forward to hearing how it evolves and where your nose takes you.
Thank you.
And that of your trusty beagle as well.
Oh, thank you.
What a great idea for a podcast. And also just really joyful listening to Kate talking about creating something just simply for the pleasure and the distraction of making it. Next week, we're featuring Absolute Radio Kevin, where a listener won the chance to have their very own radio station. Until then.